Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. I simply entitled this, Looking for Truth in All the Wrong Places. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study.
And guess what? You wait, because the next thing that's going to happen is they're going to say, that mosque is not the mosque. It's going to be in Saudi Arabia, because that's Mecca, or whatever they call it. And then the temple's going to start being rebuilt, and watch out, because His return is imminent. If you're looking at a prophetic clock right now, Jesus' hand is on the door and He's fixing to open it. And you need to be ready. That's why He tells you to be ready, to look up, to look up. We need to understand that it is the living and abiding Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of your soul, of the spirit, of the joints, and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Like it gets down to the nitty-gritty. It gets there. And it's living. And it deals with the discerning thoughts and the intentions of the heart. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And Matthew 13, 23 says, As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. It's like you have to tend the soil. Are you going to tend the soil? You tend the soil by being in the Word of God. There's no excuse. There's devices. There's, like, you got your phone. You can download the Bible app. I mean, it's there. You got whatever version of the Bible there. You can put it on your tablet. Miss Waller just brought a device in this today that does it for her, because you know, she has a hard time seeing. As we get older, that thing happens. But she's able to listen to the Word of God. There's no excuse. So why aren't you in it? If you're a follower of Christ, how do you hear from your Father? What if your children didn't take instruction at all? Right? Like, they just don't even listen to you. You're like, hey, get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car. They're not even listening. They're just going the other direction. That's how it is with you. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, go this way. Go this way. Well, if you were in the Word of God, it would be a lot easier to get in the Word of God. Why are you running towards sin? Because you're not in God's Word. You're not being led by truth. You're being led by your truth. And that's too many followers today. They think that their truth is more important than the Word of God. Your emotions and your feelings and your truth mean nothing to God. He's called you to be obedient children. Period. That includes me. It's hard. You think about it, but you need to tend that soil. So we see that He is the living and abiding Word of God. Why abiding? What did Jesus do? He was obedient to the Father and went to the cross. He was abiding. He's the abiding, living Word of God. And if Jesus was obedient to the Father, what are we supposed to be? Obedient as well. The last part we have is the Word of the Lord remains forever. You go, man, I don't really like being in the Word of God, Mike. I can only do it once a week at church. Well, guess what? When you get to heaven, the Word of God will be there for you. It's eternal. You're not getting away from it. If you're His, then be in it. This is why pastors preach this all the time. You need to be in the Word of God daily. Because what happens is when you're not in the Word of God daily, the flesh just starts running rampant. And that's when you start sowing discord and you and your brothers and sisters aren't getting along. It's just, it becomes a mess. So the last point we have is the Word of the Lord remains forever in verses 24 and 25. It says, for all flesh. I love that. Whenever you see the word all, that's in the Bible so much. He didn't say some flesh. All flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now, that is actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. So Peter's actually, this is why I love Peter. Peter, the fisherman, is quoting the word of God, right? Peter, the guy who cut off Malchus's ear. Peter, the guy who cursed out the little girl and denied Christ. Peter, who went back to fishing and then repented, and God said, feed my sheep. He knew the word of God. And here he is quoting the word of God. So it doesn't matter, like you go, man, I'm a plumber. Well, guess what? You can learn the word of God. It doesn't matter. I only have an eighth grade education. That is why you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you. Dude, I went to school in Alabama. Okay? That's like a seventh grade education. Like you can do your alphabet on to the sixth grade. It's like you can add, you can actually add and subtract. You're off to high school. Schools weren't that great. And when I came into this, you have to understand, I had so much truth from the world. I had to turn all that noise off. And I begged God, like, please, I can't understand the word. I sit in church and my mind is wandering. Some of you, your minds are wandering. You're thinking about lunch already, right? It's okay. I was like, Joe would be teaching. I'm like, man, can't focus. And so I asked God to help me. And from that point on, man, things just, it was like a light switch went off. And I made time to be with God. I made time. I wanted that. That's part of my relationship. I wanted to be with God through prayer and through being in the Word. And then I ended up getting a degree from Liberty University on theology. How that happened, I have no clue. But that's the Holy Spirit. God did that. Not Mike. You start getting into some of them theories, and I'm like, I don't want to argue that. I just want to teach the Word, right? But at the end of the day, it's like you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you. Your flesh means absolutely nothing. That's usually not a good sound coming out this way. Yeah. Well, you know where your guns are at, right? Everybody's got ammo. Y'all know what needs to happen. We'll all meet here. We'll protect Miss Waller and the cows. But it says, for all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers falls. So I want you to think about this. Think about just how we have the wonderful nature that happens in Texas where the blue bonnets just show up, right? Do we know what time they're going to show up? Sometime in the spring. Sometimes it's February. Sometimes it's March. Do they end in March? Sometimes it's too hot and they're gone in March. And sometimes they stay till April. We don't know, but they all go away, don't they? And so he's saying all flesh. All flesh. All your human ingenuity is gone. The best composer, the best musicians, the best artists, the best actors, it's all flesh. It means nothing. It just fades away. It's just temporal. And that's what he's trying to get you to understand. He's like, you need to understand that God's word's eternal, and so that the time that you invest in God's word in the living, abiding Word of God and in the truth, having it purify your soul, it's imperishable. It's the imperishable seed. It's knowing that, hey, it's going to all burn up here, but God has prepared a place for me in heaven. He told me in Scripture. I know that's going to happen. All flesh is going to go. Every one of us in this room will die. And some of you think you're going to live till 70, 80 years old. You may not. You all have an appointed time of death. So what kind of impact do you want to leave? What kind of legacy would you want to leave? Would you rather leave a legacy of godliness to your children so that the next generation grows up in Christ and the next generation? Or would you rather leave a legacy of the world and have them chasing the things of the world? These are the things that you have to start thinking about. You're not promised tomorrow. None of you are, including me. We're not promised tomorrow. We live for Christ today. And so when we look at that in James chapter 4, verse 14, says this, it says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Put that up there, Mijo. James 4, 14. What is your life? What is your life? What will you be known for? What is your life? If it vanishes, if all flesh vanishes, and even James tells you here that you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes, do you not think eternity is more important than the world that you're in right now? The thing that you do now for eternity while you're in this world, if you're a follower of Christ, that's more important. Because your time here is small and eternity is forever. 1,000 years is nothing in eternity. It's a drop in the bucket. Most people don't live past 100. It's very rare. But what is your life? What would you be known for? But I love that Peter gives the big transition there. But the word of the Lord remains forever. It's like, hey, all flesh is gone, but the word of the Lord remains forever. What should you put your stock in? Not this stock market. In the Word of God. In the Word of God. Trust God. In every area of your life, trust God. Like right now, man, if I was raising little ones and I see my grandkids coming up, I'm worried about the world they're going to inherit. So I need to trust God and impart as much wisdom as I can to them. And even within that, I'm still fallible. I'm still not perfect. But I want them to know, hey, I love God and I love you. And God loves you. And that when you think about the God who created you, who knows your whole story, when you think, what is your life? God knows. He knew you and knitted you in the womb. That's God. God knew you and knitted you. Even if you weren't going to follow Him, He knitted you in the womb. He knitted some of them knowing that they're going to be aborted. But we don't think about that. It's like all flesh. But the thing that remains is the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, the Logos. And that's why we are to be like Mary. When Mary receives the news from the angel that she's going to carry the Messiah, what does she say in Luke 2:19? She says, "But Mary treasured up all things and pondered them in her heart." She actually just took them, received them, and pondered them. Like, how is this even going to happen? But I'm going to trust God. She received it. And that's how we should be as well. We should be understanding that we follow the abiding Word of God. We follow the Logos. We follow the Logos. In John chapter 14, verses 14 through 15 says, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And he finally finishes in 25, "But the word of the Lord remains forever, and the word is the good news that was preached to you." It was preached to you. Somebody let you know about Jesus Christ, right? Somebody took the time to tell you about Jesus. Who was it? Do you remember who it was? Do you remember that person that took that time, or that couple that took that time to invest in you? When you finally said, I want to follow Christ? When you finally stood up and said, I'm gonna deny myself, I'm gonna pick up my cross and I'm yours. The good news has to go out. You have so many people searching for truth in all the wrong places. A lot of these kids now today that are in middle school and high school believe, and even in college, that their truth is defined by themselves. And that will lead them to the path of destruction. They will be on the very wide road to hell. If Jesus is the only truth, they need to hear the gospel, the good news. And it is very good news. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And then Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And we are not to be ashamed of God's word in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's God's word that builds his church. You know, there are some things that we focus on as pastors, but the one thing that I was told when I left to plant the church was one thing, the only piece of advice my pastor gave to me: preach the word. He didn't give me a list of things that needed to be done. He's like, just continue preaching the word, verse by verse. Because it's God's word that transforms lives, not you. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the word of God, and the Holy Spirit that empowers that believer to receive it, to live it, to apply it. So we can come up with all our flesh and all of our ingenuity. Well, let's do this discipleship thing, and let's do that thing, and let's, like, we have all these different, well, this is how the church needs to grow, right? We need bigger building. We need more people. No, I need you to grow. I need you to mature, period. Because you can do more with God's people that are all growing and maturing, that are actually living the abiding word of God, that are actually allowing their souls to be purified with the washing of the word. Man, you can change the world. You can. Because you can get, you know, some of y'all have been in big churches. You get comfortable. They got the nice cushioned seats, and they got the coffee bar and all the stuff, and they're doing cappuccinos and all that. God didn't call it. What? They would have been out in the field. That would have been church. We would have been out there with the cows. That's what Jesus would have done. It's all flesh. And it's all going to get burned up. Think about that. All the mega churches and money that's been spent, gone. Gone. You know how many mission groups and groups there are in the world that have never heard the gospel? Many. And they grow day by day because of birth. The gospel needs to go out. And I hate to tell you this, but the United States churches would not go to the world. So guess what? God brought you over 10 million people into your country so you can share the gospel. Yeah. You're like, you're not going to go out. I'll bring them to you. I'll bring them to you. I'll bring them to your front doorstep. So instead of being angry, Pastor, I'm going to give you a Bible. I'm going to teach you about Jesus. Well, I follow Muhammad. Well, we're going to have a long conversation about the false teachings of Muhammad. Let's go ahead and talk. You teach them about Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something. If you can get 1 million of them, it'll change this country. It'll change this country. It's, you know, understanding, like, we have a responsibility. Who are we to love? Our neighbor. Our neighbor. And for us, realistically, that brotherly love that we talk about, it will not happen if we don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, if we're not in the Word of God and not guided by God. You can't love that agape love without being in God's Word, without spending time in prayer, without spending time with Him. You need that. It's the difference between cheap grace and costly grace. Costly grace is understanding what was done on that cross. And because you understand what was done on that cross, you'll live for Him. And because you're His child and you want to be obedient to the Father, you'll hear from God by opening His Word or listening to it. You'll spend time with Him. If you're struggling being a parent, send the Word of God. If you're struggling in your marriage, send the Word of God. If you're struggling with your finances, send the Word of God. Oh yeah, teaches you how to handle stuff the godly way. There's so much that's in here, but you have to dive into it for yourselves. It has to be something that you do because you're a follower of Christ. It's not something your pastor can make you. Now, my job is to make sure you're fed the Word of God on Sunday and Wednesday and answer any questions that you may have. And I'll try to do that at best of my ability. But you need to spend time in God's Word for yourself as well. And it needs to be done daily. It will change your life. And it will change the direction of your family, the marriage. It does. I don't know how to explain it. Now, you may go dumpster diving and start digging up the old body every now and then. But you know when you're wrong. You know when you need to repent. And you know when God starts working on your heart again and you're like, man, there's grace for the journey. Thank God for His mercies are new every day, right? Because He loves you. He loves you. So when that old person starts creeping out, or you start diving into the truth of the world instead of the Word, just repent and start back over. If you started the one-year Bible and you quit in February, start back tomorrow. If you think the one-year Bible is too much, because you do the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms and Proverbs, pick a book of the Bible and read that whole book, verse by verse. And you go, Mike, I can't do multiple chapters at a time. That's fine. Do a couple paragraphs. Ask God to speak to your heart. Before you start reading it, pray. Say, Lord, speak to my heart so I know what it is that you want me to get from this. What is the application? And what is the exegesis? The context of Scripture, not your opinion. God don't need your opinion. That's the problem with most of the churches in the world today. The pastors are eisegesis, which means they're weaponizing the Word of God for an argument. They're taking it out of context, and they're warping it to their opinion, and they utilize it to work on people's emotions and feelings. I don't have to do that. I can tell you, one of the things I love about God, and we'll close up and pray, is like we were in Genesis 20, and we were talking about besetting sins. And we've been dealing with a lot, and, you know, with stuff that's been going on. And, man, you know, I love God. I had no clue. Like, when I was sitting there planning this out 2 years ago when I was thinking we're going to do Genesis, that on Genesis 20 that we would be on the night that we had been hurting, that the Word of God would just speak to our hearts for me and my wife. Like Genesis 20, where Abraham lies, and we've been lied to multiple times about different things. And it's from a follower of Christ. They hurt. They were smooth like butter, just like that verse says, but they were making war underneath, and they had the sword out ready to stab. And sure enough, right in the back. And it happens. But then we got to besetting sins, and I started realizing, man, I was like, look at Abraham. Abraham lied some 20 years ago, and he lied again about the same thing. He fell back into a besetting sin, and it was the Word of God that really spoke to my heart on Wednesday night. And we had chaos. The Wi-Fi didn't work. The camera didn't work. We were having problems with this. We had chaos, and I love that because that's when I know the enemy doesn't want God's Word to go out. And so I understand, as I'm preparing the study is speaking to me all week. Why? Because I'm in God's Word. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. Okay? You want a life that will change? You want a life like, man, let me tell you something. The specific details, like, I couldn't have planned it. That's God breathed. God knew exactly what scripture I needed, that Proverbs chapter 6 scripture. Like, He knew exactly what scripture, because I was like, that's what it is. This and this are happening, and it's causing division and sowing discord between the brothers and sisters. These two sins. And I was like, But it was like, okay, now I know how to pray. Use God's word, not to throw it at your husband, or to throw it at your wife, or to throw it at your kids. It's for you. It's for the person in the mirror. Okay? Remember that. Because it's very easy for you. Like, you're not doing what you're... And it's like, hey, use God's word for you. It's for you. Let's pray.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.